I do feel like for a lot of people, when you are trying to make those initial steps to building up your wealth, it gets so much easier further down the track. But that first investment, that first step that you make is often sort of by hook or by crook, whatever the current situation is with lending or whatever. And now, did you say how old you were when this was happening?
Yeah, I was 22 when we bought the house. So literally just straight out of uni. So it was a pretty high risk venture, put it mildly. But going back to that period of time, this was Waiheke Island. I'd grown up on Waiheke through the 90s and had seen property prices back when I was a kid. You could buy a section of Waiheke for kind of $10,000. Yeah, that same section today would be, well over $1 million. So I'd seen this massive increase in property values growing up as a teenager. And because my parents had made some poor decisions financially and we didn't own a house, I think I was just really keen to get on the property ladder as soon as possible. And that was a big driver for me. And we ended up selling that first house. It took us a year longer than we expected. We had to borrow more money and pay higher interest and literally made nothing. So broke even, which to be fair was actually a
woo.
And we learned a lot along the way. So, we got some of our money back, some of the initial kind of cash that we'd put in, paid back the credit cards, paid back some of the personal loans. And I took that money and we ended up putting it into another property actually with my brother and my father. So we ended up investing in another house after that, which ended up being a long-term investment and was really successful. So, I got that experience out of the way and it gave me a better appreciation for, what to do and what not to do, I guess.
Well, 100%. And starting so young, but of course, as you've said yourself, always looking to learn, there's always so much to learn. And there can be massive pitfalls, not least when your partner, who was supposed to be helping you out with this, fractures his back, can't do it anymore. That must have been quite terrifying. So what were sort of mistakes or pitfalls or things that happened along the way? And how did you deal with that in order to get to building to the very successful place that you are now?
Yeah, so I think property is a long-term game. And I think, you can look at doing flips and, smaller kind of projects like that. But after that first experience, I've always approached property investing as a long-term game. I've also prioritized buying properties where I can add value. So I think, for me, I've never really been interested in just buying something and waiting for the market to go up and making a lot of money. Obviously, the market will generate a return, and some people just prefer to have a real passive investing style. But my approach has always been trying to find something to add value. Two of the properties that I've kept over the last 20 years were both projects that I developed myself. So I did two relocatable houses, managed the projects, moved the houses onto the section, did all the landscaping, project managed all the connections. And I was kind of like a bit of a side hustle outside of my corporate job, which, kept me kind of entertained and also created another income stream and a bit of an entrepreneurial side hustle.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? Because I think property, people often talk about it as if it's passive income. And it can be passive-ish depending on how you set it up. But I don't think of property as passive income. What do you think of in terms of where does it sit on that passive-active spectrum and how should people think about it like that?
Yeah, I don't think it should be passive either. And I think you'll get much better results if you take the time to do the research yourself.
Mm.
There's a whole lot of investment property kind of coaches out there in New Zealand who help people find property and, set up these sort of passive investment schemes. But I think you'd be better off doing the homework yourself. And if you do end up engaging one of those people, that's okay. I'm not completely sort of against that. But I think everyone is so sort of looking for this hyper convenience, right? And it's just like, they want this full kind of turnkey investment solutions. But, with investing in property, I think where you find the most value is when you can identify properties that perhaps, you know, other people can't see the value in, where there might be something that you can do to increase the value of the property. And, you know, that's, for me, has been probably the most satisfying part of investing in property. It's been the value add rather than just waiting for the market to kind of generate that return.
Yeah. Yeah. And you eventually got into it with your family as well there. You were saying your brother and your father, and you got a long-term investment there.
Yeah, we couldn't afford to buy a property on our own. So the three of us, after I'd exited the first project, I didn't have enough money to buy something on my own. So I ended up going in with my brother and my father. And we kept that property for many, many years. And it actually set us up for, you know, the next property and the next property. So that was another thing that I think people don't look for, is the opportunity to, you know, if they can't afford to buy an owner-occupied property straight off the bat, maybe they don't have enough money initially, maybe the areas that they're looking at are not suitable or too expensive. You know, you can always look at doing, you know, something outside of your own sort of towns or districts, and doing something potentially as an investment property with someone that you trust, and you take that, you know, hopefully you grow equity in that property, and you can take that into a owner occupied or do something different with it down the track.
Well, exactly. I think there's a key phrase there that you mentioned, you know, someone that you trust. There's people I trust personally and love very much, and I wouldn't necessarily get financially entangled with them. So mixing family and money, how did that go? Do you have any tips on that front?
Yeah, I think you have to approach any investing, whether it's with friends, family, or just a business partner, with some kind of structure and agreement in terms of, you know, what everyone's obligations are, what the plan is. And write it down. It doesn't have to be a long-winded contract, but I think, you know, put something in writing so that you know what, you know, what the plan is, and ultimately have an agreement around, you know, if someone wants to move on or exit. So I think you want to have people that you can trust, obviously. You know, you're going into an investment together. There's financial obligations, there's legal obligations. So, I mean, I think you have to be really, really careful, but I think it can be a really good way to get your foot on the ladder. You know, particularly if you're in an expensive city like Auckland, where it is really hard to get that, you know, first leg up.
Yeah, exactly. And I like what you're saying there about, you know, get it written down, get a contract. Because I think sometimes people, when they're working with people they love and trust, they're like, oh, we don't need that stuff. But the thing is, you just putting it into a contract forces you to think about all sorts of different scenarios. Like you say, what if someone wants out? What if someone wants to leave the country and have a big OE over in London or whatever? I feel like everyone I know is going to London currently. You know, what if one of your partners wants to do that? Are they going to stay as just a passive investor, or do they want their money back out? You know, talking about all of these possible scenarios and getting it written down, I think, is really important. Making sure that you all have something you can refer back to. You're like, oh, yeah, we talked about that. What did we decide would happen there? It's so important, right? No matter how much you love and trust these people, get it written down.
100%. And I think with AI now, it's so much easier to draft up an agreement, right? You can put the high level terms in there. You can and ask the AI language model to write up an agreement. Potentially use a lawyer if you need to kind of, you know, look over it. But at the very least, have some kind of written agreement that gives you some structure. So I think that's an absolute must, regardless of how much you trust each other and how much you love each other. You know, ultimately, I would argue that you should probably spend more time on the agreement when you're going into something like that with friends and family, because you've got this really important relationship to protect.
Oh my God, I so agree. Yeah, it is even more important when it's someone you care about, because the last thing you want is money to come into a relationship like that and wreck it. And it's so common. My God, just if you have any lawyer friends, talk to them, they'll have a horror story or five. You know, it's so common. So yeah, absolutely.